The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Did You Know Show. I am your host, Alex Parnuk, and together we'll attempt to resolve some of the most complex problems on the planet, but in a very common sense sort of way, something that seems to be sorely missing in this age of media information overload. In doing this show, one would ask, why have I committed myself to this task? The plain and simple answer is, I want to get information to you that seems to be missing and not provided in the old media. So join me in the show through your interaction by providing comments, suggestions, and if necessary, criticism when you don't agree. You can contact me at shout@theflypod.com. This episode of the Did You Know Show continues my series on the government and will highlight that department in the executive branch of the federal government known as the DOC or Department of Commerce. As for the most current data, this agency employs approximately 47,000 people and last year was budgeted $7.5 billion. Did you know that the department was originally created at the direction of President Theodore Roosevelt? It was called the Department of Commerce and Labor back in February of 1903. And just a mere 10 years later, in 1913, President Howard Taft changed the department to just the Department of Commerce when parts and pieces relating to labor were transferred to the new Department of Labor. The Department of Commerce has had a varied history, with the Bureau of Mines being incorporated into the department in 1925, and then, with the advent of the airplane and its increasing role in American life, a Bureau of Aeronautics was created within the Commerce Department. Added to the DOC's basket of duties in 1927 was the Federal Radio Commission, and even the Bureau of Lighthouses at one time was within the structure of the Department of Commerce. In the 1940s, the department was tasked with public roads, and within commerce was established the Public Roads Administration. In the 1960s, the department saw another growth spurt with the addition of the Economic Development Administration, the Office of State Technical Services, the Community Relations Service, the Office of Minority Business, and the Office of Telecommunications and NOAA. Did you know that recently there has been talk and preliminary action to want to get rid of the DOC and roll its responsibilities into another department or agency? Did you know that both Rick Perry, governor of Texas, and Ron Paul, congressman from Texas, during the 2012 election campaign suggested getting rid of the Department of Commerce, and as recently as 2012, President Barack Obama has made it known, if he had the authority to streamline the executive branch, he would shut down the Department of Commerce and take some functions and place them into a new agency. Now, would this be less government or more government? But for now, let's just get back to a little history. President William Howard Taft, when he directed the split of the Commerce/Labor Department, defined the role of commerce as to foster, promote, and develop the foreign and domestic commerce, mining, manufacturing, and fishing industries of the United States. Not wanting to lead you astray, I thought it would be appropriate to consult someone more qualified than I to define commerce. Webster's defines commerce as, and I quote, an interchange of goods or commodities between different countries or between areas of the same country. It goes further on to say trade and social relations. Now, this definition that I just read came from the Random House Webster's College Dictionary with a copyright date of 1991. Of course, we all know that NOAA was from the early 1800s, and I got to thinking and wondering if this definition was any different back in those early times. So, the 1928 version reads, in a general sense, an interchange or mutual exchange of goods, wares, productions, or property of any kind between nations or individuals, either by barter or by purchase and sale, trade, traffic. Commerce is foreign or inland. Now, let's kind of scoot forward to 2013, and one goes to the internet and consults with the current website operated and sanctioned by the Department of Commerce, one finds this mission statement. The U.S. Department of Commerce promotes job creation, economic growth, sustainable development, and improved standards of living for all Americans by working in partnership with businesses, universities, communities, and our nation's workers. The department touches the daily lives of the American people in many ways, with a wide range of responsibilities in the areas of trade, economic development, technology, entrepreneurship, and business development, environmental stewardship, and statistical research and analysis. That's quite a mouthful, but let me say this first. On a side note, statistical research. Yes, in my research, I found lots and lots of statistics about all kinds of little things. But one primary statistic I was looking for, the supervisor to employee ratio, guess what? I didn't find it. Just from this first paragraph, one sees also that this department's mission statement goes into realms not meant for commerce, such as job creation. Should not the Department of Labor be doing this? How about environmental stewardship? Gee, do we or do we not have an agency called the Environmental Protection Agency? But of course, as any kind of bureaucracy, one paragraph cannot possibly be enough for this current Department of Commerce to define itself. It takes three whole paragraphs to let us know that, quote, provides effective management and, of course, monitoring of our nation's resources and assets, support both environmental and economic health through critical weather monitoring, weather forecast, and resource preservation. The department protects not only public safety and security, but also our oceans, coasts, and marine life while assisting their economic development. How the heck do you assist the economic development of a coastline? This is a department that is run by a secretary that answers directly to the President of the United States. The Secretary of Commerce, a cabinet-level position, makes approximately $199,000, not counting perks, and by that I mean the benefits of office, such as a car or a limo, for lack of a different word, a security detail, and some other government pay benefits, such as travel allowances, locality pay, and per diem amounts. So he's making some pretty decent dollars. And lest I forget, in this paragraph under other essential operations, the census is finally mentioned. And by the way, it is constitutionally mandated program, whereas many others that we'll talk about are not. This department is run by 46 separate secretaries, undersecretaries, and division heads who are all very well paid. And by the way, of the 47 persons, as the most current information I could find, 11 of the 47 are vacant. Funny how a department can run by itself without 20% of its leadership. Might we say it's a bit top-heavy? Continuing on, the secretary, the guy that answers to the president, has five separate entities that report directly to him, and those are the general counsel, the lawyer guy, the inspector general, the watchdog, the chief financial officer and assistant secretary for administration, that's the bookkeeper, the Assistant Secretary for Legislative and Intergovernmental Affairs, the answer guy. And lastly, we have the Chief Information Officer, and that's the mouthpiece. Now, the Secretary's Chief of Staff also supervises the Office of Public Affairs, Office of Business Liaison, Executive Secretary, Office of White House Liaison, and Office of Policy and Strategic Planning. Again, a mouthful, folks. Let me interject here again and say, by the time I'm through, there are going to be an awful lot of mouthfuls you'll have to swallow when trying to understand this mega organization called government. But back to the Commerce Department. Below this hierarchy of leadership I just went through, there rest the various divisions of commerce, or in other words, those working entities of government that are to promote jobs, economic growth, sustainable development, improve standards of living for all Americans by working in partnership with businesses, universities, communities, and our nation's workers. These distinct divisions or segment, of which there are five undersecretaries and one director. Only one director, you ask? Well, possibly this is a historic thing in that one director of the NIST, which is the National Institute of Standards and Technology, goes all the way back in U.S. history as it relates to the overseeing of weights and measures, which is another aspect of this department that is also specifically mentioned in the Constitution, and specifically Article 1, Section 8, within the enumerated powers, where in the Congress shall have the power to coin money, regulate the value thereof, and fix the standards of weights and measures. The four remaining undersecretaries are the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA as it's commonly referred to, International Trade, Industry and Security, Economic Affairs, and the Undersecretary for Intellectual Property and the Director of the United States Patent and Trademark Office. Now, thinking this might be the bottom of the pyramid, You would be wrong, because each of these undersecretaries and one director have assistants in another hierarchy, such as the assistant secretary for market access and compliance, the assistant secretary for import administration, assistant secretary for export administration, and assistant secretary for export enforcement. And then we have a chief economist. And in this same level of bureaucracy, we find the director for the Bureau of the Census, a requirement mandated constitutionally in Article 1, Section 2. To facilitate this organizational chart coming directly off the secretary's position are the assistant secretaries for economic development, for communications and info, and lastly, the national director for Minority Business Development Agency. Generally speaking, the job descriptions are mostly self-explanatory when it comes to the major divisions of this Commerce Department. We can understand international trade, industry, security, or economic and statistics, even such as the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration or the National Institute of Standards and Technology. And I would leave off here, but be that I am trying to provide an accurate picture of the scope of government and specifically today the Department of Commerce. Its scope and duty as having been set forth by legislative mandate. Oftentimes, it almost seems ironic that as our Congress grew due to population, so also has the federal bureaucracy, needed or unneeded, to run and oversee the varied aspects of this country of ours. But I digress. Back to and highlight two more segments of this level of the organization. First, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. The organization is fairly straightforward, but to show you the sheer growth of government, I believe it is necessary to dig into the individual responsibilities and services within NOAA. Directly under the Secretary of NOAA, there are six sublevels this bureaucracy has created. The National Environmental Satellite Data and Information Service, which is dedicated to providing timely access to global environmental data from the satellites and other sources to promote, protect, and enhance the nation's economy, security, environment, and quality of life. This segment of NOAA is run by an assistant administrator, a deputy, and his assistant administrator. This group further has a managerial staff of 14 with a supporting staff of approximately 850. The National Marine and Fisheries Service, which is responsible for the stewardship of the nation's living marine resources and their habitat. The National Ocean Service, which translates science, tools, and services into action to address threats to coastal areas such as climate change, remember that, population growth, port congestion, contaminants in the environment, all working towards healthy coasts and healthy economies. Next, we have the National Weather Service, provide weather, water, and climate data, forecasts, and warning for the protection of life and property and enhancement of the national economy. Then, the Office of Oceanic and Atmospheric Research provides the research foundation for understanding the complex system that support our planet. And lastly, the Office of Program Planning and Integration provides corporate management to coordinate NOAA's many lines of service with the nation's many needs for environmental science, service, and stewardship. As a side note, if you're sitting around on your computer and want some interesting data or something to do, go to the Government NOAA site. This site is wrapped with data and interactive weather info and some really great wallpaper and screensaver applications. They even have recipes for calamari and clam chowder. No comment, folks. I'll let you be the judge of the necessity of that one. Now, as to the National Institute of Standards and Technology, its mission is to promote U.S. innovation and industrial competitiveness by advancing measurement science, standards, and technology in ways that enhance economic security and improve our quality of life. Now, NIST, as I commonly call it, is run by a director, his assistant officer for administration and chief of staff. The institute is then divided into three associate directorships for laboratory programs, innovation and industry services, and management resources. And then each has his own grouping, which I was not going to bore you with, but is in all things. Sometimes you just have to dig a little bit deeper into an organization, and lo and behold, you find this repeating problem of duplication. So here goes. Of the three branches of NIST run by associate directors, we find that the first, laboratory programs, encompasses four separate laboratories, including material measurement, physical measurement, engineering and information technology lab, and a center for nanoscience technology and technology, and a NIST center for neutron research. More bureaucracy, folks. The second grouping, or innovation and industry services, has four staff offices for advanced manufacturing, economic analysis, technology innovation, technology partnerships, but also encompasses a program subcategory called the Baldrige Performance Excellence Program, then a separate partnership called the Hollings Manufacturing Extension Partnership. The Baldrige Performance Excellence Program is an awards program, while the Hollings Manufacturing Extensions is a partnership which works with small and mid-sized U.S. manufacturers to help them create and retain jobs, increase profits at the same time and money. I mean, I always thought companies did this on their own. In the third grouping, we find the management resources and staff offices with four offices, including property management, financial resource management, workforce management, information service systems management, and lastly, safety, health, and environment. Now, while doing this research for this discussion, I found another marvelous little quirk to the governmental environment. The NIST organization uses a different payroll system than the regular GS grade system. I wondered, what the heck is all that about? Whether this works or not, I don't know. But while looking at the websites and making some calls, it was eminently obvious that the bosses are primarily executive service or SES, senior executive service, with a pay grade of $145,000 to $199,000 in the executive service and in the SES or senior executive service, $119,000 to $199,000. One would think that after all these years, the government service pay system, the GS grade, that has worked for all of the years would be sufficient. What is totally understandable, however, from the government's point of view, is that the higher pay grades is that for their organization executives, it is an advantage and the top are a bit heavy on the pay rates and they go up, up and up. And I'd like to add here, while I was doing this research, I made some calls to clarify several organizational questions and try to find out at what level the directors of the organizations were. But it seems that most employees, when questioned, declined to provide that information. I did not want the money amount. I just wanted the level because these numbers I'm giving are just base numbers. That doesn't mean what they're actually made because there are in-grade increases continually and also various types of bonuses that government employees get. So here we are at the bottom of the organizational chart and the story of commerce, and I thought to myself, let me repeat for you one more time my opening statement. This agency employs 47,000 people, and last year was budgeted $7.5 billion. I sure would have liked to find out that ratio of supervisors to managers. Now, up to this point, I had not seen anything on grants, and that was surprising me. I just didn't feel right to have told you the story of the Department of Commerce and not provided you the opportunity to get some government, some taxpayer cash in the form of grants. I went back and did a little Google searching, and lo and behold, the money. I found out that although the Commerce Department has no general department-wide financial assistance authority, that such authority must be provided by specific statute. So they have to go to Congress. Well, I guess there's plenty of Congress's money laying around. I found a manual on grants and commerce, and reading it, it seems that the nine primary organizational structures we talked about within commerce, only five have the responsibility to provide grant money, and those include the EDA, or the Economic Development Administration, the ITA, International Trade Administration, NIST, National Institute of Standards and Technology, NTIA, National Telecommunications and Information Administration, and lastly, NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. The EDA, the first one, the Economic Development Administration, works under the Economic Development Administration Reauthorization Act of 2004. EDA can provide investment assistance to rural and urban areas experiencing substantial economic distress. Reading further in the Department of Commerce Grants Manual, I found that all these groups have found a way to spend our money in the form of assistance. In fact, reading further, it is noted, and I quote, operating units may issue supplemental operating unit specific policies and procedures to cover items not covered by the Grants Manual. Just that last sentence, gee, it seems like the fox is guarding the henhouse. Now, in their annual report to Congress, the Economic Development Administration of the Department of Commerce, in their own words, states, the EDA awarded investments that totaled approximately $304.3 million. Of this amount, $62.9 million, or approximately $191 million, funded construction projects that are expected to help create or retain approximately 51,000 jobs and generate nearly $6.47 billion in private investment, according to guarantee estimates at the time of the award. I caution you, guarantee estimates and expected. You never expect the government to spend less. They always spend more. And estimates, who could you trust? The government, excuse me. Now, number two in our five sum of groups that can provide grant money is the ITA, And they had two groups that dispersed grants, the Market Development Corporation Program and the Special American Business Internship Training Program. And within the website of the Market Development Cooperative Program site, I found $2.3 million. And then an interesting statement, and I quote, "It is estimated that a 200,000 increase in exports creates one U.S. job." I think you guys should just think on that for a while. I'll leave you alone with that. Now, as to the Special American Business Internship Training Program, I found this quote. "The U.S. Department of Commerce and its International Trade Administration will be assisting at least 25 commercial trade missions to foster stronger commercial and trade ties, one of which, Pakistan. The Department of Commerce has given $3 million through USAID and a memo of understandings to promote legal and economic development. Pakistan's Special American Business Internship Training Program sends Pakistanis to the U.S. to train promising entrepreneurs and government officials focused on high-potential industry sectors." So are we training those Americans or are we training foreigners? No info was available for the NIST, but I did find that a $20 million construction grant for new and expanded scientific research facilities. I could understand that. That seems reasonable. Now, number three is the NTIA, the National Telecommunications and Information Administration. This agency manages two broadband grant programs funded by the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, the Broadband Technology Opportunities Program and the State Broadband Initiative Bill. You wondered where that ARA money? This is where it is, folks. This was formerly called the State Broadband Data and Development Grant Program. Through these programs, NTIA is overseeing an investment of approximately $4 billion. That's $4 billion. That's more than half of what the agency spends in projects throughout the United States to support the deployment of broadband infrastructure, enhance and expand public computer centers, encourage sustainable adoption of broadband service, and promote statewide broadband planning and data collection activities. And for those of you thinking this is the free phone and internet service that the government makes available, sorry, you're wrong. And we'll just have to wait for another Did You Know show that is in the works as I speak on free phones and internet service. And lastly, NOAA, through the auspices of their administration, seven different elements administers its grants program. Well, I don't know about you, but I think I've had about enough. If you've learned nothing except that it seems that the Department of Commerce is involved in a whole bunch of stuff other than commerce. I go back to that first item presented to you that in this Department of Commerce employs approximately 47,000 people and last year was budgeted $7.5 billion. Are we as taxpayers getting the best bang for our buck? Now, I was just going to end, but I'd like to end here on a quote from one of our founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson. And in a letter to John Adams in 1785, he writes very simply, "I think all the world would gain by setting commerce at perfect liberty." Today, our commerce is not at perfect liberty. It is constrained and restrained by governmental bureaucracies. Well, until next time in our next Did You Know show, keep your powder dry and your silver coins in your pocket.